If you see something, say something. At Reply, weird things come with any weird story you find on the web, and you can help make weirdthings.com even weirder.
Mike Ray, former cop and body double for a world-famous action star, was ready to put show business behind him when he was asked to do one last favor for Hollywood's hottest new actress. All he had to do was find her the necklace from a forgotten film and not get killed in the process. From the insane house parties of Malibu and the reclusive mansions of Beverly Hills to the scorching California desert, Mike finds himself in a scandal involving one of the world's most eccentric billionaires, the Nevada Mafia, and a sadistic Estonian porn kingpin. To find the necklace, he'll have to blow the lid off a secret buried in the California desert that stretches back to ancient Egypt, with an irresistible client who won't take no for an answer. If the job doesn't get him killed, she just might. Hollywood Pharaohs by Andrew Main has been described as a fast-paced love child of The Big Lebowski and Indiana Jones. Find out why readers have made this book one of the best reviewed in all of Amazon. It's Hollywood Pharaohs by Andrew Main, available for only $2.99 on the Amazon Kindle store. Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Well, boys and girls, welcome to Weird Things, the podcast. I need the three dumbest people to get up and leave right now. Bye, Chad. Bye, Carson. Bye, guys.
Chad, flanked by his high school companions.
We are joined, as usual, and Mr. Justin Robert Young is to my right.
Hi.
All right. I have to the far left, Mr. Brian Brushwood.
Hello, beautiful people.
And we have sitting in the fourth member of this group, when we remember to ask him.
which is almost never.
Mr. Brett? Brat? What is it?
Brett Ratner, ladies and gentlemen.
Brett Ratner, ladies and gentlemen.
The infamous.
Yeah. Mr. Brett Renseville.
Hey, howdy, hey, gang.
We are recording this, for those of you listening to this at a later time, which would be most of you, at DragonCon. And there's a live, like, not just like a live internet audience. They're wearing clothes, most of them, and they're here right now. And could you guys let everybody know that we are actually in front of a live audience? All right, Brian, kill the soundtrack, kill the soundtrack, kill the soundtrack.
Okay, those cool. Two guys were loud.
Yes. All right. So we're very, very happy. Everybody that showed up here, thank you so much, because Brian and Justin are like, hey, guys,
now, to keep with our, you realize whenever, you know, we always block off Twitter and we only focus on the weird things. Do we have to, like, refuse to acknowledge the audience live and
over? No, we may involve them, actually.
Oh, I like that.
So ooh. Did it let you know how grateful you guys came here? Brian and Justin said to me, like, hey, we can do one tomorrow at 4 p.m. I'm like, I'm going to be on the road. And they're like, okay, we'll schedule it today. So we just moved this up very, very short notice, and people showed up. So thank you guys for being here.
Lots of people. Thanks.
Yeah, lots of people. So this is fantastic. So let's
six of you.
Yes. I thought we might start off with a scenario.
All right.
Ready.
And let's do a scenario that kind of involves where we are now. And we haven't done a lot of what would you do in this situation. And it's been a while. I thought we should do one like that right now. So I want you to imagine you're at a convention, okay?
Okay. Already difficult.
Hypothetically,
Here we go.
Dragon Con.
Right. Okay, I'm picturing it.
Okay. In Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia?
Yes.
Okay.
It's late.
Georgia, U.S., right?
It's late at night.
Okay.
It's late at night. All right. It's broad daylight right now, but it's late at night, okay? And I want you to imagine that we're up, we're talking, I'm trying to get a point across. I imagine you guys are, like, interrupting, okay?
This is already difficult to imagine.
I know. And okay. We're sitting here, we're talking, carrying on, and it's already, the lights are dim, then all of a sudden, the lights go out.
Okay. All right. I'm
imagine the lights really go out.
Yeah. All right. So wait, like pitch black.
I need you guys.
I'm imagining a steady stream of urine trickling down my leg.
Okay. Good. I want you guys to close your eyes. Brian, Justin, close your eyes. Everybody wants to participate. Right. Close your eyes. Okay. Really try this. You guys in the room here at home, close your eyes. Okay. And this is what I want you to imagine. The lights just go out like that. What's our reaction?
Hey.
We're like, all right, we laugh. We go, ha ha, the lights are out, okay?
Right,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Ha ha. Okay. Oh, the lights go out. What hilarity.
Right? First, we think it's funny, right? Making jokes. Okay, now this is going to be, we're going to test our survival skills, okay? Eyes closed, okay? We hear a sound in the back, a chair get knocked over. Then we hear a loud scream. We can't see anything as the lights are out, okay? We hear a loud scream, shrieking, like some big geek
So we're in a room and there are other
people. We're in this room, Brian.
Dark room.
Dark room.
All right, all right.
And you hear a scream.
Okay. Wow, that was highly realistic.
Okay.
We just got all Radio Lab up in here.
Right? Exactly. Perfect. All right, and then you hear some chairs get knocked around. Okay.
All right.
Your chair's knocked around. All right.
Man, my imagination is really doing some property damage to the Hilton.
Now you hear some other screams, maybe to our right here. Okay. The screams come closer. You hear sickening sounds of flesh being ripped. Okay. You hear.
That sounded an awful lot like a tenderized sound. That was amazing.
Okay. Let's hear that flesh being ripped again. Okay, flesh being ripped and then like moist popping. Okay. All right. And it's getting closer. It's getting closer.
Is this like an attack orgy? What the hell is happening?
Something is working its way through the crowd. And you're listening to the people screaming. Blood curdling screams. Brian, what do you do?
I change my pants, I assume.
Okay.
What is there to do outside of cower in the corner and weep?
Do you you cower in the corner? Okay. Oh. Justin.
Well, are we starting before or after the weirdest boner I've ever had? I would stand my ground.
With what? You're going to wave a microphone at
it? What are you going to do? I mean, you're going to stand. So it's like, are you going to run backwards? Maybe there's more monsters back there. That's what the monsters want, Brian. They're pulling the old double pincier move.
Now, do you think there's any chance that this is like some elaborate prank or something? Because we're at Dragon Con, so like...
Okay, yeah, and that's why you're justifying that you're cowering and crying.
I'm just rolling with the lols.
I think it's weird that you guys
that's what you always do.
Monster.
Well, okay, so Brett, you jump in.
Well, the thing is, I had my eyes closed. I was listening in. The ears, very powerful sensor instruments.
Motivators.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I actually intuited everything that was happening in every second. It was very clear that enormous fanboy dressed like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man fell against the light switch, which is when Rogue tripped over 3 dozen chairs trying to right him, which happened simultaneous to that guy getting impaled by the microphone stand that we put up for questions later on in the show.
Yeah, sure.
Which then was masked by Brian's screaming like a little girl and Justin's constant urine stream.
So, Brett
right,
is
Daredevil, Jesus.
I saw it. I saw it all with my ears.
So, Brett has rationalized how he's like, Brett's safe. So, Brett, you just stay there. You're calm. You're like, you're on the mic. Like everybody.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm calm. I would like Justin to clean up his urine and Brian to stop screaming.
So, you have no fear. No fear at all. You're like, I can understand everything that happened here.
He thinks he does. Now, is it the case where it's like whether you're right or wrong, that's what you think, and because that's what you think, you're not feeling anything?
I'm going to say in this situation, we're probably all going to die. We're all going to get murdered because you guys have horrible – you guys, maybe not me, okay? I've got escape plans planned for this, okay? And then let's say it's, you know, Brett's like, ha,
it's funny,
ha.
I would like to point out that, like, no lie, Brett is looking around trying to figure out what he would, where his exits actually are.
There are no exits between us and horrible.
I'm suddenly highly uncomfortable with this.
I can think of about 4 ways out of this situation right now.
Is one of them
killing
yourself?
No, they all involve immense selfishness and human shields, okay?
So you don't have to
can
run
we please, hold on, can we establish whether or not teleportation is real? Because that would be my way out.
Yes. I'm Nightcrawler.
Can we hide in the Stay Puffed Marshmallow
okay.
Man?
Okay. So ulcers. Like, let's see. You
Are
hear.
We allowed to open our eyes?
You can open your eyes right now.
All right.
Okay. You hear an animal growl somewhere in the audience. Which is a ploy for when you hear the real growl. Okay, and then you hear more sickening sounds of flesh being ripped. Screams. Chairs being wrestled.
We should really think about putting less
dangerous things out there. And then oddly, the sound of wind.
Man, this is like the like Peter and the Wolf. Like, I'm waiting for the French horn.
Wait, where's this going, man? So it's like the whole room's going ape crazy. Like, what?
Something is working its way through, murdering
exactly.
your friends. By the way,
yeah, okay. Brian. And then an army of jelly beans rolled through.
And you have. Let's say you hear something is working its way through there. Something is tearing through, eating people up. Okay. And
I mean, look, I've already given my answer. Like, in a legitimate face-to-face encounter with a large beast, I'm going to soil myself and die. That's the end of it.
Well, but you don't know what it is, Brian.
Why are you giving me the goddamn third degree? So, like, I'm going to change my answer.
Right. So Justin is, your response is?
I'm standing exactly still, doing nothing, hoping it doesn't notice me.
Okay. You smell, okay.
I'm trying to fart as much as possible so as to ward it off.
In 1967, in a convention in Habsburg, Germany, there was a veterinary convention right
Shut
next door to
up.
A fiction and fantasy convention. It wasn't a full-on con. It was writers trying to write European genre. And they were doing a demonstration.
Yeah, we're right. Unicorns.
They were doing a demonstration in the veterinary section about how to... use anesthesia on a tiger in a cage.
Oh, dear God.
Okay. They used the anesthesia on the tiger. They opened up the cage to show and how to pull the thing out. The animal got loose. The animal ran through one, ran in through in the middle of the havoc. Electrical things got pulled out. Lights went out, ran into the fiction section.
Okay, hold on. Wait. Let me just, before we go any further, make clear to everybody that Amnesia on a Tiger in a Cage is the best Yeah Yeah Yeahs album never made.
Amnesia.
This is horrifying because I thought, like, look, I mean, I'm not going to lie. You are a master craftsman of portraying these wildly improbable scenarios. However, I thought you were just phoning it in with, like, the least probable bogus, like, I don't know, some deathly evil monster comes in and eat anyone. I'm like, well, that's dumb. Let's talk about something possible.
And yet?
And yet you broke my heart.
You guys can look it up.
What are your four exit strategies?
Wait, hold on. Whoa. Is that real?
I made that up. Ah,
fraud.
I just wanted to know what you would do.
We were doing the fake things podcast.
Oh, man.
Point is I'm always curious, like, what somebody's exit strategy in something like this. And it's interesting to see that I you know, or that it's the Karen again. I would probably.
So what are your four ways out?
I'm not going to tell you all.
Yeah, I'll tell you three of them.
Because they all involve you throwing the first guy inside of you.
Let's talk zombie line of defense. Let's say zombie plague. Let's talk back to real, okay?
Sure.
Zombie plague broke out through... Oh, do we know our sponsor right now?
No, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
Let's say zombie plague broke out through that crowd right there. What's our reaction? Zombies are something you can understand, you can relate to.
We can not like
bring
tigers.
The lights up a little bit now.
Well, let's
see their horrified faces.
So let's say...
Stand up. Actually, everybody stand up. Stand up.
All of them?
Kind of do kind of a, just sort of just in place, just sort of the slow
zone. Right, I'm not going to lie. Oh my God. All right.
I just want to say, we close our eyes and I open the back up and George R.R. Martin is sitting in the back.
Why aren't you writing?
That got really scary really fast, not least of which is because a bunch of people stood up because Andrew told them to.
Okay.
but because Andrew told them to be zombies, and I'm really afraid that they're that loyal.
I mean, we're all together on this, right, guys? All right.
No, we're not. They should sit down now. Okay. All right, guys. All right. So clearly one of Andrew's exit strategies is to join the other side of the team.
Raise the arms for a second. I want you guys to get the visual, and then we'll let them sit back down.
This is going to play great for the audio listeners.
We just need to get a photo. We're going to get a photo.
Yeah, all right, get a photo. Okay, keep doing that. We're going to wait and get a photo.
Yeah, you don't need the noise for the photo. So meanwhile, let me talk to
you. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. There we go. Okay.
Hold on. All right, so...
I really did just pee myself.
Keep going, real quick. All right, now everybody do the monster mash.
So, all right, you guys have a seat. So you've got the visual. All of a sudden, that is happening right now, okay?
There's
should be Dragon Con nightmares you have before this, Brian.
Well, they are. They are now. But okay. I guess all you could do is, like, run in and football, you know, push everyone aside, but that's going to get a hand on you.
You got tables, you've got microphones. We could act like in mass, like a zombie riot squad. Pick up this table, okay? You get that one, we get this one, and we could just like push back the zombie. No offense,
yeah,
guys.
That's brilliant.
The four of us
could push back those 80 zombies.
Maybe
that'd be really fun.
We could push it over them or some client. You want to give up?
No, I don't want to
go out there and get your flesh eaten.
I don't want to give up. I want to hear an actual viable escape strategy.
Uh-huh. All right, hold on. Wait. Did we ever settle on teleportation?
We could do a wedge right through the middle. All right? We could do a bite-proof wedge.
No, I like that. And especially if we got two on each table, and we'd have to fold in the inner legs, get it to so they like formed an arrow, or as I prefer to think of it, like half a diamond.
A flying V.
And then, and then just, you know, blast through.
All right, zombies, stand back up, please.
Yeah. Okay, it's like what the Romans did. Okay, it was like a Roman thing. Okay, now we've got this door here. Like we could maybe like
we could kick that in because that's a fake. Yeah, it's a fake door.
One of us is probably.
Can we do that right now and just like surprise the skeptic track panel?
Do we know what's?
Skeptics. Yeah, no,
it's a skeptics. Is it
so?
They wouldn't believe it.
No, it'd be like that. We're like, suck it, suckers! You know? That'd be great.
I like to kick in the door, and then we just kind of like have our own really boring podcast version of the Run DMC Aerosmith Walk This Way video. So, we're talking about zombies!
And the sad thing is we know most of the people there.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, do you think if actually, let's say we all were zombies and we did kick in that door and then we did invade them all, like, do you suppose like they would all just sit there with their arms crossed as they were eating?
Yeah.
It's like, I doubt
guys.
This very much.
Because it's like, because the first thing, dude, you're closest. First it's Brian. Then Brett, and then me. And then John. And they're like,
we all got infected with the zombie thing.
They did.
No, let's say we all got bitten, right? And then we all like clamber over and we break through and we're invading the skeptic panel.
And I don't know why I would bring up zombies in the city of Atlanta, guys. No idea why.
Exactly. However, we just know that in the second part of this conversation, it's going to get really tedious and boring.
A lot of talking. and nothing happening.
Yeah.
We're going to spend half the discussion looking for that damn beer.
Exactly.
And then by the time we get it, it's skunked.
Where's Carl?
So go ahead.
Oh, is Carl here?
Yeah.
The actual kid.
Carl. There we go.
Wait, so that actor is actually here? Is he like sick and tired of everyone telling him to get in the house? Where it's like he goes up. It's amazing.
All right. No, I was just saying, how long do you think it takes the skeptic audience to really believe that zombies are about to eat their face?
I think the bottom line is you don't have to believe that zombies are about to eat your face to know that some dude that's drunk is about to eat your face. Like, they're going to run, right?
But there was that dude in Miami, right, who got his face eaten. Wait, it wasn't bath salts. Bath salts were unfairly maligned.
That's right.
It was marijuana. Yeah.
Let's not talk about...
The notorious drug that gets people excited and makes them violent. Marijuana.
Although it does make you very, very hungry.
Yeah, there is that.
But I mean, like, all right, but you think there's definitely like one or two people who are like, oh, okay, whatever, flying spaghetti monster. Like, and they're going to get their face straight eaten.
Yeah.
So that's our scenario where they're going to either wedge. You're going to try to take out the next room.
I think the plan is settled.
Can
we're ready.
Those windows to give?
No. Like no way.
Thick windows.
No way.
It would take some
passion. Since when did you become the window booster?
Yes. I was wondering, like, are these guys the ones running the track and sit there and try to get the audio right, make sure they got this right, even they're getting devoured?
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it would be.
Ah, get the EQ. Ah!
It's very involved.
It would be their life's work, right? They would always be known as like it would be like the Zapruder film, you know, like the first it's recorded the audio of the Titanic. Of zombies.
Well, guys, you laugh, but in 1974, so a British couple in Britain.
That's where they keep them, by the way.
Oh. Yes, they're. Number 15 best-selling book in all of the UK right now.
Okay, all right. Hold on real quick.
Angel Killer, all right. It's not why I chose the story. It just happened to be.
In this scenario, all right, hold on, wait. Drinking their tea and reading their Angel Killers.
Exactly, as the Brits are wont to do.
Yeah.
All right, true story. This morning, we're all sleeping in the same hotel room like a bunch of hobos. And I went to the bathroom and I came out of the bathroom and all of a sudden Andrew just kind of sits.
It's totally dark.
Andrew just like it's almost as if it's theatrically lit because he like turns on his iPhone like as he sits up to talk to me. So his face just gets like eerily lit in the middle of the night. He's like, Justin, guess what? I'm like, what? What? Like Angel Killers number, and it was then I think 17. Hey, Angel Killers number 17 in the entire United Kingdom. I'm like, all books. That's awesome.
Also, what? I'm sleeping.
Who are you? He's very excited.
I have no idea. No idea where it came from, what happened. And so when I would check.
What
this,
I love is that it never occurs to you that maybe it's a good freaking book.
I don't know. I'm like, they like invented writing there, you know, it's, or English, you know.
And I'm so, better than Shakespeare.
Yeah, ruin it. Take that, J.K. Rowling.
Yeah. Put that in your gigantic gilded pipe and smoke
your billion-dollar gilded pipe. But anyhow, that was exciting. But anyhow, a UK couple in Britain are sitting there. They've got a couch. And they notice that part of the couch sort of sunk into the floor a little bit.
Wait. Tell you, like 5 degrees?
Just a little bit of slope? They're like, hey, honey, what's up? And they roll into the next one.
Yeah.
Like, what's up with that?
Snakes.
Wait. He's calling it straight to snakes
right now.
So they noticed the couch.
Wood goblins.
So the floor was a little bit uneven.
Now, is it mushy or it's still solid?
Is it the tremor worms?
The boards sort of dipped down at that part of it.
So it's hardwood floor.
So it's hardwood, and so floor are sort of
hard. But the boards, they're not like wood rotted. Like, they're still hard. Like, you could knock on them.
Oh, they're hard, Brian.
So is there a basement I can go down and check this out? Because I'm a mystery buster in this scenario.
Well, they
mystery buster brushwood.
There was
on the case.
I've got a glowing top hat. That's like my little shindig deal. I'm just like, hello, governor, and they're like, that's not real British talk. And I was like, dude, there's that. So screw you.
No, okay. So go ahead. All right, me and Brett are the couple, Brian.
Okay.
You knock on the door.
Ding ding. Hello, governor. Understand you got a bit.
Hold on, you're already waving me to open the door. You just start talking. You ring the bell and you start talking in the door.
We didn't even get to go.
I'm not the smartest one. I'm just that excited to solve this mystery. I've already like turned on the LED lights inside my glowing top hat.
All right. Give us another.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Sorry.
All right, ring the doorbell.
Well, hello. Who are you?
Okay, I didn't know you were going to match my terrible fake accent with an even worse terrible accent.
It's the lady of the home there.
All right. I'm the teenage son. I like to play football.
Angel Killer's now the number 15,000th best-selling book.
Hello, governor. I understand you have a spot of mystery you need figured out.
Indeed. We have a bit of a problem with our floorboards. They're tilting. our couch seems to be sinking directly into the floor. Ever since me and Mildred moved in together after attending the High Squeaky Voice Convention, we ain't never seen a problem like this. No, never.
Hello. I've seen a few cases of the tilt before. Ain't like you're going full tilt on here. Let me go. They used to call me old John Tilton back in the day. Let me have a look at your tilting wood.
Right-o.
Well, why don't you come on in? I'll make a tea and crumpet.
All right, so we walk in. We're like, well, your wood's plenty hard, ma'ams.
Oi, that it is.
We don't really talk like this.
this is just for pleasure.
I understand you might have a basement. I could take a look and see why you got the tilties.
Oh, you can look at my hardwood right here.
Oh, no, hold on, wait, there ain't no basement. We couldn't afford it. They said you could have this house or the basement house, and we said, I mean, come on, we'll save a few quid. Who needs a basement? All you're keeping is creepy old puppets and dust.
Perhaps there's some way I can get under the hardwood and see why there's a tilt.
All right, well, let's pull up all of our goddamn wood for no reason.
There I go. Lucky for you, I have a glowing cane to go with my glowing hat. Did you notice my hat glowed? It cost me a little bit. And then I'll pull up.
I like to call you Glow Bro Bri.
Well, Glow Bro Tilt Solving Mystery Services is here for you. And so now that we're down here, what exactly am I seeing, Andrew Main?
You're seeing some bricks and some dirt and some rubble.
That's it.
Well, you know, I swear we keep the bricks and the dirt because you can keep them in a different place, but then you're like, why?
All right, now hold on. So there's nothing down there but bricks and dirt.
All right, wait, Brian.
I look like a guy.
I got to interrupt. Let's Brian's description of the entire field of paleontology and archaeology. I just see ground. Ground. What are you talking about? No, Brian. Let's talk about oil exploration. I just see an ocean. There's nothing here but an ocean.
You sold me a gold mine here in Nevada.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
I did dig a hole. You know what I found under the ground? More ground.
All right. So, Andrew, in my capacity as a mystery solver, it seems like I would look.
Who's Andrew?
To see if...
You're talking to me. My name is Mildred.
I'm sorry, Mildred.
I thought you moved in with Mildred.
Why
Mildred
they
and Mildred.
So you dig.
They're both named Mildred.
So you dig
also,
in.
Also, we came to know each other. It was Mildred and Mildred. Inseparable.
Quite a laugh it was.
One with a Y.
Yes. I'm Mildred with a Y. And I'm Mildred with a zero.
So you dig in. You after staring at it and going, all I see is rubble.
Right.
Obviously placed here for a reason.
All right. So I get down there. I dig in there. It seems
you're a foot down.
I'm a foot down, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, and so I creep down. I get my face down underneath there, and I look
get
over.
Get your face right on and in it's, there, and bro, it's, bro, bro.
You find that it looks like fill that's been filled into something.
Filled into something. Wait, was somebody digging something somewhere?
No, someone sculpted it into a picture of Phil. Yes.
Somebody.
Phil Plate, who's in the next room when we bust in like zombies.
You dig a little bit further and you find a rusty sword.
What?
I mean, tell me more.
Mildred, as you know, there are precursors to situations like these. And under the law, I'm afraid I'll have to say dibs. And so, this sword is now mine.
Well, hold on now.
Don't worry.
Well, that was right below my hardwood.
What is with your voice tell going me. In
Because I'm the man and the woman. It's Mildred, and Michael.
So, wait a minute, hold on. You mean to tell me you're going to come into my house, the house of Mildred, and Michael, and steal the sword we've got buried under the house? I didn't know if we had buried it.
Well, but it's right in there with our dust and puppets.
Well, I'm afraid there's other things down here as well, such as...
That's where I kept my wind chime. Yes.
You keep digging until you find that there is a 33-foot shaft underneath your house.
Yeah, baby.
Oi, a 33-foot shaft underneath my hardwood.
That's what she said. Look at me, it is.
You pull up you go to the town council, you pull up the public works plans, you pull up all this stuff. They got no idea what this is. Finally.
Wait, vertical or horizontal?
The shaft that goes down.
Take Matty in all the right. Dark. Hey, Mildred, you're such a cut-up. That's what they said to me.
After you push Mildred down the shaft, and all we hear is, Oh, don't drop the sword!
So you discover, like, a abandoned mine shaft, and that's why this... What?
Well, it was. It's a brick-lined shaft.
Wait, is it a well?
Was a 33. A British couple found in the living room. There was a medieval 33-foot well that had been filled in. It was from the time of Francis Drake when they tried to. They built aqueducts, and they some point forgot that they put a big giant well there and just built a house on top of it. And he started to dig in to see what's going on. He pulls up the boards and sees it, some like rubble in place. And he digs under the rubble, sees that it's brick lined. Like, what's down there? Steve keeps finds a sword.
Wow.
Which, you know, find like a metal sword.
So
like,
you realize the only reason I can think of to throw a sword down a well is after I use it to murder a nobleman. I mean, there's got to be, this thing's like a haunted artifact.
Yes, it's fact.
That is
it turns out at a convention in 1983. and so he eventually said he started digging, but his wife said, no, fill it in. We've got three small children in the house. And so after the kids are gone and he retired, he finished digging into
that. Wait a minute. This is the real story. Son of a bitch finds a haunted well under his house and then just fills it in and be like, don't worry about it.
And then after he retired.
You should pay about it. And, you know, there's three kids running around. And besides, we know when we bought the house, they said it's a well house. So I said, well, it looks like good. It looks like a well house. It don't make no sense to me how you describe it. Get off my face. Quit busting my nuts. Just me, Melvin.
All right. Next scenario. this is a, you can vlog or not. Yeah. I don't really want to encourage that.
Mystery solved.
So, I don't know how to get into this other than...
Naked.
Well, no.
Slowly, one toe at a time.
Gosh. I'm just going to come out and say this. So, they had a guy who came down with Ebola.
Oh,
all right. I know you're going to get sexy with it.
In Uganda.
In Uganda, someone got Ebola.
Yeah, and the thing is...
Sounds like a Paul Simon song.
And so the
in Uganda, somebody got the Ebola.
Ebola.
I thought of it as kind of a pre-Garfunkel thing.
So it turns out while the police were kind of, I guess, investigating the theft, not really.
Ebola?
Yeah, you see, that was it. He stole a cell phone, and he got the Ebola. He stole a cell phone from somebody who was infected with Ebola.
Oh.
And Ebola transferred to the thief. And so they were trying to, like, that's actually how they were trying to catch the guy, because, like, we better get him because he's got Ebola. He's going to infect everybody else.
Wait, that's why they suddenly, what? This is brilliant.
Listen, you know, if you have a problem, your iPhone gets stolen, and the police won't do anything. Here's what
you
tell
them. Ooh. Yeah. You just lie?
Sorry, I downloaded the Ebola app to my phone.
All right, now hold on.
I actually tried that once, and when I told the cops that I had herpes, they didn't seem to care at all.
So here's the thing: this is a real life situation that happened with a real life disease. But have you guys watched H+, the digital series yet? Where they're talking about people get these implants where they'll let them have unprecedented access to the internet. Imagine basically you have an iPhone type setup in your visual field at all times.
Was it like a Mars like Curiosity thing where you get the implant, but it's only like a 2 megapixel and it's already like outdated by the time
you're like, son of a bitch,
pays for it.
Right? No, but it's a virus that gets spread that takes out everyone who has the implant, right? So in this case, what if it's kind of cool that it's a cell phone because you got a real life virus, but. I mean, you might hear a situation in 100 years of someone steals a piece of technological hardware but unleashes a lethal virus, digital virus, onto himself.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Killjoy.
So I'm just saying that ain't nothing. Get ready.
Well, but, like, how different is that than, like, it's just a different flavor of regular viruses. Like, when technology becomes humanity, then a digital virus is just a virus. How is it different than horrifying viruses that happen all the time? How's that different than AIDS, which is the name of my autobiography?
It's kind of like, I'm fascinated by the idea that you think, like, you go steal something. What's the worst thing you could think that happened? Maybe, like, who you steal it from, like the mafia or something.
Yeah, they get caught and you kill.
I stole this phone. All right. Like you could smell it, but hey, is that Ebola? Yeah. Did I just steal an Ebola affected phone? It's like wah wah.
Ring 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 Ebola phone.
So did they catch the guy?
Yeah, they caught the guy. That's how they knew like the guy had Ebola. They're like the guy who like lost the phone. Like, oh, by I don't know how it came up. Like, oh, by the way.
Oh, LOL.
Well, yeah, those black spots on him. He's coughing this up. His hemorrhagic like, plague sets
they are
in. You know,
really upset about that stolen phone. And then it's like, well,
yeah, wait.
Funny story.
Wait.
BT dubs.
So
is Ebola totally fatal all the time?
Not all the time.
Can you survive
so
Ebola?
So hypothetically,
is that like death sentence?
No, it's not 100%.
Wait, did you just ask the same question I just asked?
Yeah, you did. You guys.
Okay.
Way to listen, guys.
Oh, I thought you said faded. Like it was like fading. Like it wasn't as bad as it used to be.
Oh no, I didn't
hear what
fading.
You said.
That's.
Would you,
you
guys
listening?
Rather? So knowing that it's not fatal, would you guys rather steal an Ebola laced cell phone or steal a phone from Scarface?
Are you more scared of retribution from a criminal connected underlord?
Well, number
underlord?
One, Scarface like had like rotary telephones. Like that movie was made forever ago.
Hard to run away with that.
Yeah. Which means that he's that much more upset when you steal the one cell phone he has.
I think once you realize you have Scarface's phone, you get rid of it. You know, Ebola. Like, oh, I got Ebola. Yeah. You got Ebola.
Yeah, you do.
That's a hell of a weekend.
Yeah. Well, I'll go move on just to throw that out there. So don't steal our stuff. And we were after we recorded the last podcast, and it was a genuine tragedy what happened. And
that podcast was terrible.
It was. Right afterwards, that news came out, and that was Randy Lee Tinley, 44, of Montana, was killed while reportedly attempting to stage a Bigfoot hoax.
Yeah.
I only heard the little bittest of this. I know none of the details, just that the punchline was he used a ghillie suit.
Not a punchline, Brian. It's a real person.
Zing!
I mean, it's like, and you understand, it's like you go, ah, that's stupid, it's silly, it's like this. But, Brian, how long before they look on the guy's iPod and they find
weird
show,
things? Oh, my God.
Or one of these shows. Because. The guy was trying to create a Bigfoot hoax, told his friends, I'm going to try to create a Bigfoot hoax, runs across the highway, gets hit by two cars driven by teenagers, who Montana teenagers, mind you.
Oh, you think they tried to, they're like, I'm going to bag me a Bigfoot?
I don't know.
I will end this abomination.
Yeah, I don't know. What we know is, guys,
we know that they were like, oh, meet you at the mall, JK, LOL.
What were we joking a month before about?
Goatman? Oh,
Goatman.
Yeah.
Goatman, thank you.
Yeah.
Goatman. We were like, ah, Goatman. Dress up like Goatman. Create the Goatman hoax. Let's do a Goatman hoax. It's a guy who travels with a Bigfoot suit, you know, for my magic show and will sometimes have it randomly run out to fight.
By the way, you couldn't see when he said magic show. He made really big air quotes.
Yeah. I read this and it's like, you know, it's hard to compare like what you feel like. You're like, oh, my God, this is the kind of stupid thing that could happen. I wouldn't run across the street and be. I usually make Justin wear it or somebody else wear it.
Okay, so look, I'd
have to watch this tragedy unfold in front of me.
As someone who has dealt with claims of the paranormal, working for the James Randi Educational Foundation, does the JREF promise $1 million to deliver a Bigfoot?
Not that I'm aware of.
Like,
no.
Do you think that could be part of the problem? Is like we're at a point right now where this thing's blown up so much. Like, if it is a Bigfoot. Like, your best course of action, like, a life-changing, the best thing you could do for your own life is kill that thing,
whatever it is. Oh, no.
Oh, all right. So you're saying that's the split second is somebody's listening to...
Do you want to be, like, one
coyote on the radio?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden sees a Bigfoot, and that split second is like, wait a minute. I can submit proof of its body to the James Randi Educational Foundation,
No. I'm on Brian's side on this one all the way. Having grown up in the mountains of Eastern California, that is the first thing on every redneck's mind, even if they see a deer.
Yeah, but like, free meat. Let's change this up. Let's imagine a beautiful unicorn running across the road.
Kill it.
Yeah.
Kill it.
Dead for money.
Right, what is our reaction, audience?
Kill it.
What do you think of the person?
Look at that. Look at that. Half the room were for
do you want to be one
you
of 8 million?
You only two teenagers on the road.
You want to be one of 8 million political assholes? Rally. I just want to point out.
Do you want to be one of 8 million assholes who says they saw a unicorn? Or do you want to be the one badass rolling up with the stuffed old unicorn face?
Also, I want to point out that Brian has gone full union leader and stood up and started preaching.
You guys need to keep it around to defend your
Oh, breed it.
Breed it.
Hold on, wait. Is there an actual?
No.
What?
There is definitely not enough time to mount a unicorn.
Unibabies.
Hold on.
Magical children.
I just want to point out that there's an actual British person here, which makes me feel all the more terrible about that first segment. I apologize to you, sir.
Our audience listening in can't hear because it's not mic'd in the back. And he said, "Well, that's all right. I'm not." So, all right, Brian. There was a guy like a while ago, like who shot, one of those things, getting shot, rampaged by like a large grizzly or something. I forgot what it was. He shoots and killed it and felt guilty, and he got hate mail from around the world.
What, for killing a grizzly?
Some other animal that was in it. It was another kind of exotic.
But the animal was attacking
him. Best case scenario, he got hate mail from half the people in the world. And then if you're getting hate mail from people about killing Bigfoot, you're also getting a pile of dollar bills sent to your mailbox.
Yeah, man. Tell that story. What Bigfoot community is going to call you out for being a liar when you talk about how it tried to, you bravely defended yourself.
Oh, I'm a liar?
With your car?
They're like, well, these molars, this is a plant eater.
So what?
He was rabid.
It's still
or
a plant
angry.
Eater we've never seen before.
So you are like, you're all serious. Like, if you had the chance, you would kill Bigfoot.
I would kill unicorns. I'd kill Pegasus. I'd kill Minotaur.
Who are you?
I killed Justin Robert Young.
Whoa.
All I'm saying is it makes total sense that there are people out there that would kill it on purpose.
Yeah.
So you're thinking.
But there are people who will kill people
murder.
On purpose, right?
Not because they see him crossing the streets.
Bigfoot got killed, and
Bigfoot got.
You ever see Toxic Avenger? Ever see how that gets started? All right, so I rest my case. You were saying?
I'm shocked and appalled by both of you.
I know.
What? I'm just telling you how the world thinks. Half the people in the world want to kill Bigfoot.
We got two cars driving down the highway, okay? Justin and I are here. I'll let Justin drive. And I'm like, oh, look at that majestic creature running across the road with the
boom! Ah, look what we just did, Brian.
We jump out and start smoking meth right in front of it.
Blood hits our windshield. Our reaction is,
But hold on. All right. So then by what you are saying, and you're being serious about this, that means that the last thing that this poor dude in the suit understood was two goddamn hayseeds doing a touchdown dance over top of his fallen corpse. As they're like, yeah, can you believe how much meat there is on there, man? I'm going to make a flank steak.
All right, now let's imagine. Okay, I want you guys, you both were driving opposite directions, okay?
Okay.
Okay, you both at the same time saw Bigfoot crossing the road. Okay?
And then?
Now, you run out of your cars. Do you fight for the body's laying there? Are you fighting over dibs now?
Yeah, I get the top half.
I immediately propose a partnership. I mean, I got a cocktail napkin out, and I'm writing down like sign at the X.
Do you guys
by partnership, he means a civil union.
Right. I get down on one knee. It's a new stranger friend I just met.
Do you agree to this, Brett?
Yeah, I'm all in.
All right, what's the next step? There's Bigfoot on the ground. What's the next step?
Well, first call the press, right?
Yeah.
You're standing right there right now. Bigfoot's on the ground.
Oh, no. Well, you call the press.
Take a photo. Easy money. Is inquire. Okay.
Bigfoot's wearing it. Bigfoot is wearing Adidas.
Can you please call 911?
No, Bigfoot's dead. Bigfoot's wearing Adidas. Brian, you look down and you see there are Adidas on Bigfoot.
I was just like, he probably stole these.
And they're like a size eight Adidas.
Man, my papa told me never trust a Bigfoot. Shiftless, lazy, stealing.
So now you
clearly it's a Bigfoot chick then. Tiny feet.
So you look
tiny footed Bigfoot chick.
Plus, I'm a little disappointed they've been calling him Bigfoot because he clearly doesn't have that big of feet.
So now you two are standing over there, and all of a sudden the realization sets in that may have happened in this case. This isn't Bigfoot.
The Bigfoot's he's got a mustache. He's wearing a dragon.
It's like a ghillie suit he was wearing. So what do you do now? You go.
I tear off my name from the agreement and I write my confession.
I want a divorce.
And I call the cops.
With that half.
And you think that, like, so the cops come and investigate this, and you're like, well, I was driving down and I saw a Bigfoot, and I hit on the gas because I wanted to kill it so I could eat it.
No, no, that is definitely the part where you change the story.
Yes.
And it suddenly becomes,
and because we're partners,
this jackass ran out in front of my car,
no.
And I had no chance.
Listen. You ever hear a little thing called the prisoner's dilemma? That's the first thing I say to this guy.
This is the real prisoner's dilemma.
Yes, exactly.
Did that star Harrison Ford?
It's the perfect prisoner's dilemma.
I was like, listen, let's not rat each other out. And it was an accident. He ran out and said, please hit me. The guy was clearly suicidal.
And I'm sorry that sign that said, please kill me, got destroyed.
I want the impression of the Montana sheriff from Justin, who drives out there, and his first reaction is, these guys finally got Bigfoot.
Well, by the grace of God.
I was really hoping it would start with a hoo-wee.
Well, I don't know. I don't even know what a Montana accent is.
Well, yeah. I'd like to tell you.
It's me, Mildred. I became the sheriff of Montana, dude.
Yeah, man. Look, at this point, there's just too much value to being the guy. Like, Bigfoot is wanted dead or alive.
You just
murdered
a human being, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm really sorry
about it. I mean, we're not pro people killing. We're just pro Sasquatch killing.
And I'm not even, like, 100% pro Sasquatch killing, but I'm saying if you're running down a busy highway dressed as Sasquatch.
Are we in this together?
There's 20 cars.
Two of them
are going to try and kill
what looks to just be a standing, walking, upright creature.
If you think it's a Sasquatch, if you truly believe it's a Sasquatch, and you, in that moment, you have a choice, you're like, I can either be this guy who is one of a billion people saying he saw a Sasquatch, or I could be the one that actually got him.
But, all right, so you
Let's
have
be
three,
fair,
you
real
have
world?
3 seconds, you see a furry creature walking on two legs. What?
Oh, come on. We're saying we think we saw
George R. Martin.
No.
George R. Martin.
Hey, stop trying to downplay. We're saying we thought we saw Bigfoot. We're not saying we thought we saw something vaguely
people-shaped.
Yeah,
you're the one who's just like, I mean, that's like saying you would shoot a four-legged creature. That's like killing my dog.
Yeah. No. So
four-legged creatures are normally killed.
What?
All the time. Cows are killed.
Chickens
are.
Oh, it took the bait. No, look. Hypothetically, like, let's say real world. I am somehow magically fully convinced that I'm driving at a Bigfoot.
Yes. Like you see his fangs.
I wouldn't even.
How would you know?
This is what you see.
Okay.
This looks like a Sid and Marty.
All right. No, hold on. That is definitely
a guy with a sniper rifle.
Look.
But if hypothetically,
you're a wizard, Harry.
If hypothetically, I think I see Bigfoot, I'm driving down the road. I bet that does look like freaking
Bigfoot, man. When he's walking and he's got the stuff dangling all the... Oh.
And he's doing the Bigfoot walk.
Or at least a swamp monster or something.
Swamp monster.
Whatever it is, it's clearly not human.
Oh my God, it's Montana swamp monster! Is that a real thing? I don't know!
I can pretty much guarantee that I wouldn't 100% try to kill it, but I can't guarantee I wouldn't try and clip that thing and kick it in the face after I got out of my car.
What kind of bloodlust do you have?
It's not bloodlust.
And these are the same guys. We're being attacked. Something's coming in the room. What do you do? I'm going to cower.
I got a big metal cage around me this time.
I have a car. I'm a big man. I'll kill a unicorn.
Bring it, you horny.
All right. Listen, I think we've clearly found the ethical divide here. And who would think that Justin and I
are the wimps?
I know.
No, nobody would.
The big broke sissies with no bagged big
let's,
fries.
Who's
spending them SAS dollars? What?
Let's move on to picks, gentlemen.
We form a rap band called Big Sass.
That's Brian's picks. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. You heard me mention H+, the digital series. We've talked about this on Frame Rate. I really, really like what they're doing over on that. They release every week like 4 or 5 of these 5-minute episodes. And the first week felt a little bit kludgy because each video has like a 30-second long title sequence. But now what they've done is they've set it up to where if you go to youtube.com/H+, the digital series, then it'll automatically start a playlist starting with episode one, and it even skips. It's the second it gets to the end, the second the credits come up, it stops playing the first video and then goes to the second video.
Oh, cool.
And this all is a built. Some of the stories take place before whatever the big event is that takes out humanity, whatever this corrupted signal is that destroys everyone who
Windows
has
8.
The yeah everyone who has the H plus installed. Some of the stories take place after it. Some of the stories are of people not sure if they want to get the implant to begin with.
Now.
It's, yeah, right? But it's really interesting because you have survivors who have the implants. The very first episode, a small group of people survive because they are on the one floor of the parking garage that there's no decent internet signal. And so they watch all these bodies just flop down around them, and then one person runs over to go help them and immediately succumbs to the signal again.
I love the fact that we're comfortable enough putting these things inside of our bodies in this, but we still can't get a good damn signal.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling that's the way it's going to be. That's maybe the most believable part about this whole thing. But I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I'm a little disappointed that because, you know, Bryan Singer's involved. There's some big-name Hollywood talent. And it just seems like it should be getting more views than it is right now, because the new episodes within 2 or 3 days are only racking up like 30 to 40,000 hits. And I would have expected this to be one of those shows where every new episode gets 1 million instantly.
It's a hard thing about YouTube, man. There's
yeah,
so
it's,
much
it's
to
tough
watch.
To crack.
They're like, a billion videos. Guess what that means? There's
yeah.
A billion videos. Who wants to go next?
I have a off-the-beaten-path kind of pick because I haven't watched a whole ton of stuff. However, I went to a concert, and we had some special guests on the NSFW show last week. It's a little collective of musicians by the name of Turquoise Jeep. If you're not familiar with them, they have an album on iTunes called Keep the Jeep Ridin'. It's really ridiculously amazing music. I very much enjoyed the concert.
Emphasis on the ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like R&B rap. There's some
it's
nasty
almost it's
sex
almost
rhymes.
But it's almost self
parody.
Referential. Yeah, self parody. Yeah. Parody of its own genre. It's very self-aware.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like it definitely has the parody kind of elements to it, but you know, it really is like the silliness of the songs are not really all that far from what serious R&B kind of is, you know? It's just, I think it very much, they know what they're doing and they want to make catchy, earworm, hilarious, amazing sex songs.
If I would make an example, it would be, you know, if Lonely Island never led up to they were a sketch group.
Yeah.
And they released and stuff and trying to stay
with just
the
kept kept it with a straight face
yeah,
from then
you know,
on.
The
yeah.
Color Me Bad type, you know, song, stuff like that. And that's
yeah,
awesome.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and it very much is it's almost as though the whole thing is targeted at like, seriously, guys, do you remember 1991?
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, all the videos have like a very kind of dated aesthetic to them, I think very mm-hmm. deliberately. So check it out. Pick it up on iTunes and check out their YouTube channel, youtube.com/turquoisejeep. If you have no idea how to spell turquoise, like I don't, then, you know, Google it. And otherwise, buy their album, Keep the Jeep Riding, on iTunes.
I'll do my pick and then, Brett, if you're ready. Or
sure.
I'll do my
yeah, I'm ready whenever.
So, Downton Abbey, you guys watch that, right?
Yeah! Okay.
Downton Abbey season
two. Where my Downton fans at.
Right? Okay. Julian Fellowes, who is the writer, creator of Downton Abbey.
My name's Julian Fellowes.
All right. No, got to do proper British accent.
No, yeah. No, as did the Brian Fellows thing. Hello, my name is Julian Fellows.
Right. And he's done like, I think it was Gosford Park, has done a lot of great you know,
British
upper class, lower class stuff. And there's a new series that they did in Britannia. Came out like a year or so ago. Now it's on Netflix. And it is him, Julian Fellows. And this is the reason you should take a look at it. It's him doing the story of the Titanic. And it's called Titanic. And like, what is this, one of those knockoff mockbusters of, you know, Jim Cameron's Titanic? No, it was done because it was the 100-year anniversary of the Titanic, and they did a production. I think it's 4 episodes, and Julian Fellows wrote this. So I just started watching it, and everything he's ever done I've enjoyed thoroughly. So that's on Netflix Instant, and check it out. It's
also
got a great cast.
Did you ever get caught up on Breaking Bad? We were talking about that.
I'm still not caught up, but I still love it.
How far into are you?
I'm still like beginning of season 3.
That's, by the way, for the record, my favorite cosplayer at all of Dragon Con was just seeing Walter White hanging out with a hazmat suit smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
By the way, bonus on the Titanic thing, I believe the new Doctor Who companion is in the new Titanic. So if you want to look at her before she's on Doctor Who.
Huh.
In case there's any Doctor Who fans in the audience.
Wait, is that like the official call? Like you guys a bunch of goddamn owls?
They're not booing. They're hooving.
It's like the Whovians was such a weird
tagline. Yeah. All right. What's your pick, Brett?
All right. So I've been rereading.
Oh, we're out of time. Listen to this.
So I've been rereading this book, Jennifer Government. I read it a long time ago, and I don't really remember how it ends. Haven't made it all the way through it this time, but I'm rereading it because I loved it the first time, and am loving it this time. And it doesn't take place in a dystopian future so much as a very, very corporate future where everyone is assigned a corporation of some kind. So she's named Jennifer Government because she works for the government. There's like Johnny NRA or whatever, and it all takes place in this future where basically the NRA and the government are fighting to take over the United States. It's really fascinating.
That sounds awesome.
And that's not really a dystopian future at all? Or
no, yeah. Just very corporate.
All right, okay. Well, I don't know what that means.
Well, also, because like those, either of those things are corporations. I guess like, maybe technically the NRA is...
Well, there's also like Jim Nike. Yeah.
Corporation.
I'll tell you what, though, like the fact that you refuse to call it a dystopian future, you know, I read Snow Crash probably 4 times, and the first time I read it, I just enjoyed it as the science fiction thrill ride it was set in this dystopian future. But then as I read it again, it became like what was clearly meant to horrify the reader. The idea that even the roads are owned by separate companies, that, you know, there's, you know, Versatran that has a smoother ride, but there's like, you know, Transport Corps that'll get you there faster. I sort of loved it. Like, even though it's all ugly that this guy lives in a public or a portable housing, he lives in public storage. But is a badass on the internet, and the U.S. government is reduced to, you know, being a bit player. Every individual.
I like that they still haven't figured out how to make money on the internet. In that, yeah. Book.
that was the interesting thing about this book. One of the places where it starts is she wants to help this guy, and she can't because she can't find a way to bill him.
That's awesome.
It's really cool stuff.
So there you go. Those are our picks. We've had a lot of fun with the live audience here. That, you know, they've gleefully, they're applauding next door. They're that excited. And they played along wonderfully. We've had them been attacked by wild animals, and they've done the role of zombies. And so I would like to applaud you guys. Now you can applaud
they
us.
They all just groaned.
Applaud everybody else. Thank you, everybody. Hey, guys, thank you very much. Sincerely, guys, thank you so much for showing up last minute. That's really awesome that you came here. Because, like, we don't really know if there's really anybody who actually listens to the podcast, and it's not just Justin making fake email accounts. You know? Oh, guys, love the Rape Ape episode. Like, what kind of weirdo listens to this? So, thank you.
We've got about 5 more minutes if you want to do anything else.
Questions.
Okay.
Oh, that's good. Don't forget to check out my podcast, Ordinary Stuff. I haven't talked about it in a long time.
I'm about ready to go, oh my God, I should plug what? Wait a second.
All right. So,
do you have any questions? We have like 5 minutes for questions, so get them in right now.
No questions?
No questions.
Wait, right here.
All right.
This strange person I've never seen before.
Hi.
In the Mildred voice.
First-time caller. I was wondering, you said you'd hit the Bigfoot. Did you consider what you would tell the insurance company?
We would agree.
Oh, who cares?
We can afford
Bigfoot,
our cars at that point.
I mean, look, the moment that the corpse is dry, wait, is wet, cold?
You're like Geico, how would you like a new mascot?
Yeah. I mean, the moment we're done with the deal, the story is always that it just jumped in front of us and we were feared for our lives.
Yeah, no. You never admit that you swerved to kill Bigfoot.
You never record that in a podcast in front of 50 people and put it out live for thousands to hear that.
By the way,
idiots would tell people that was their plan.
I don't know if you guys realize what a slippery slope this is to killing hobos.
Are you kidding me? What kind of slope do you live on?
Or like if Bin Laden wasn't dead.
Oh, yeah, you swerved to hit Bin Laden. But then, again, you don't tell people that you swerved at him. Bin Laden jumped in front of you trying to create a hoax.
Oh, my God, it's Justin.
That's a good point. Oh, he might be Arab. We don't know.
All right, any other questions? Because we're short on time.
We have time for one more.
No way. Wait, here we go. Right here.
Not a pity question. Great, thanks. That's
observation. With the unicorn thing,
yeah.
Before you kill him, make him cry. make him cry, because those are valuable unicorn tears.
Yep.
But I mean, he'll cry when he feels my knife's blades in his guts.
My Bowie knife.
This is disgusting.
Yeah. All right. So you got to say it.
We're personally horrified.
You got to say it. Yeah, say the thing.
I did, but I'll do it again. Yeah, it is kind of horrifying. It is so horrifying that it's been weird.
You want to sponsor the podcast? Do you have $30? If so, go to weirdthings.com/sponsor, and you can have Justin say whatever you want. He's a trained ape.
This is my favorite show ever.